In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Apostle tells us today on this third Sunday of Lent that all manner of uncleanness be not so much as named among you as befits the saints. It has long been my custom about this time of Lent to preach on one particular topic. The Church throughout the ages has been careful to remind her preachers and her confessors that they must not devote an inordinate amount of time to this subject. That would serve only to discourage the faithful or kindle scrupulosity. To be sure, for every sermon we hear on the subject of chastity, we should hear 10 on charity, humility, and avoiding rash judgment. This is the time when I always preach on this subject, and you can't teach an old canon new tricks. We all need to hear some clear words on this at least once a year. Today we are called to consider that sin which reminds us of what we have in common with the lower creatures. Animals are not capable of sin, but sinful man is capable of becoming a beast. We are all perhaps tempted to think from time to time, surely God could not damn a soul for this sin alone. There are worse sins, far more malicious. And what about the mercy our Lord always shows, especially toward these sinners? Mercy which is shown in the gospel, especially what we read this time of year, especially the gospel which we hear in only a few days of the woman taken in adultery. Nevertheless, Our Lady of Fatima did say that more souls go to hell for this sin than for any other. Sins against chastity are always grave matter, but they are not always deliberate. Nevertheless, since this temptation is so common, it inclines us more than any other vice to remain in sin. Those who give up the fight and allow this sin to rule in them, or even those who settle on a sort of truce or compromise with this sin, begin to lose their faith. They decide on a new worldview, which does not threaten the cruel regime of their passions. They may even persuade themselves that they are now leading a life which is far more sincere and more dedicated to God than when they troubled themselves with observing a set of pesky man-made rules that deny human nature. Well, one thing which any person governed by reason and not by passion ought to see is that the law of chastity is most certainly not man-made. It is the natural law, and man did not create his own nature. Man is a rational animal composed of a material body and a spiritual soul. When we remember this, the virtue of chastity is simple. In all our thoughts, words, and actions, we acknowledge that yes, we are body and soul, but we are soul before body. Sins against this virtue are not just human nature. They deny human nature. Impure thoughts and words, immodest dress, all actions which denigrate the holy relations of the married state, these are all governed by the insane principle that we are body before soul, or body alone. Impure jokes, stories, impure words used in anger, these should be the horror of all Christian ears. What a tragedy when a priest is forced to correct a child for uttering a phrase whose meaning is clearly lost on him, knowing full well he has learned it by hearing an adult say it 1,000 times. You may persuade yourself that using foul language is not at all the same as blasphemy, but so many of the vulgar words in our language have impure origins that even if you are not breaking the second commandment, you are likely breaking the sixth. Be careful how you speak around children. I emphasize this point because I know there are some among you who do not understand the difference between conversation that is sinful and conversation that is meant only for adults. When the advertising world employs the term adult, we know we better turn our eyes away from the billboard as quickly as possible. In that context, adult almost invariably means immoral. But there are many topics of conversation which are not sinful, but are nevertheless meant only for adult ears. That is why only adults are invited to adult theology, or to marriage preparation for that matter. In those situations, we must speak of things which should not be brought up casually at the dinner table. The fact that a film is clean, contains no blasphemy or impurity, does not mean that children of all ages are free to watch it. We have sadly lost this battle in many cases. A century ago, it would have been shocking for a priest to have mentioned abortion from the pulpit, to say nothing of any other practices contrary to the married state. Our culture of death now forces these subjects upon us. But let children be children. They do not need to hear about these things yet. Shun all flirtation. St. Francis de Sales calls flirtation the abortion of friendship. Surely you cannot suppose that God intends for you to meet your future spouse by this shameful method. The language of Christian men and women is one of cheerfulness and charity, not insinuation and flattery. And if you are already married, make your examination of conscience. Man and wife are called to be a house of prayer, a perpetual and holy conversation. Christ speaks through his spouse, the church, and the church never speaks without her divine spouse. I trust I need say no more. The devil wreaks havoc on the human race by his exploitation of the senses, especially the sense of touch. But temptations usually first enter the soul through sight or hearing. Even before the occasions of sin present themselves, we must rise early and take the field by reminding our senses that it is our will that rules the soul. And St. Ignatius reminds us in this spiritual battle, it is the coward who takes the field. That it is the one who flies the occasions of sin rather than the one who engages them who emerges victorious. Therefore, if internet, television, and handheld devices are an occasion of sin for you, cut them out and throw them away. And parents, you have heard this many times from many different preachers from the pulpit. We all sing in unison here. If you are allowing your children to have free access to the internet and free access to handheld devices, you may be sure that their innocence is as good as lost, and you shall have to render an account for that. Always maintain good posture, especially in God's house, but everywhere else as well, even when alone, as many of the saints give us the example. This is, in fact, a very rigorous penance when we consider it, and one which is very fruitful in cultivating the virtue of chastity. Always take the time to dress carefully and correctly. Again, parents, are you setting the example of modesty for your children, starting with the first day of the week? It does not take much time or money to dress well for church. Fathers, it does little good to tell your daughters they must always cover their arms or wear skirts below the knee, although, of course, you should tell them that. But it does little good if they see that Sunday is your dress-down day, and you turn a blind eye when your sons shuffle into God's house wearing shorts and a T-shirt. And children, listen to your parents when they teach you of this virtue. Surely you want others to look at God and not at you when they come into his house. We must never cease to nourish our souls by considering the joys and glories of the virtue of chastity. Whether we look to the school of prayer that is the religious life, the boundless zeal of holy priests and missionaries, or to the love and generosity of spouses, we find in the hearts of all those who are pursuing the devout life a quiet virtue which gently reminds them that, although they are body and soul, they are soul before body. Rejoice then, chaste generation. Rejoice, you who hide your form so that others may consider only who you are and not how you are built. Rejoice, you who have made that great act of heroism, preserving your baptismal innocence. In this age of universal uncleanness, it will surely be grounds for canonization. Rejoice, parents who guard your children's purity with your very lives. And rejoice all you who, though once laid low by sin, now soar like the dove, because you have recovered this virtue. Do not lose heart. Continue to fight the good fight of faith. I know well that you are ridiculed. The world mocks you every day. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. You and your children have a gladness, a youthfulness, an indomitable strength, which the world can never know. May Saint Joseph, that great lover of chastity, grant us the grace to serve Jesus and Mary with unspotted minds and hearts, so that when this short life is finished, we may be counted worthy to ascend the Lord's holy mountain and find the joy which he promised us in that Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen.